Just for a refresher, beginning in verse 10, where he says, "For we are his workmanship." I share it with you about workmanship, what that word means. And one of the definitions is fabric. And what do you think of when you hear the term fabric? Most of us, you know, and it's not wrong, think of material, if you will. And it's like we are his fabric, but that word fabric takes on another meaning. It is like the body of a thing. You know, go ahead and give you further definitions of it, because I think it's important that we get everything that God's word has in store for us, milk it for all that there is, that when we're done, there's no more milk in the cow. Amen? Yeah. So we want to milk every verse for what it contains for the glory of God. So fabric, cloth produced by weaving or knitting textile fibers. The walls, floor, and roof of a building can be considered fabric. The body of a car or an aircraft can be considered fabric. Here, I really like this definition. The essential structure of anything, especially a society or culture, the fabric of society. And so when the word says, for we are his workmanship, we are his fabric, the essential part, that word essential is like the most important part, that main ingredient of kingdom culture in this earth. The word tells us that Christ is in the previous chapter, that Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church, which is his body. I mean, that's what we make up. We are members individually, but we're joined into the body of Christ. So surely as we have members and parts in our own physical body, spiritually, we all make up the members of the body of Christ. Whatever part we may be, we are set in the body where it pleases God. That's what the Spirit of God does. He sets us in the body where it pleases him. We all have functions, if you will. We all make up the body, and every one of us is important, just as important as our physical body. And so here we are. We are the fabric of the kingdom of God in the earth. We are the body of Christ. We are the essential part of the kingdom of God being manifest in the earth. We are, as the scripture says, living stones, if you will. But we are placed in the body of Christ. What does that mean? That means that if we don't do anything, Jesus can't do anything. Because he's the head and we're the body. It's how he carries out his work in the earth. He finished his part, went to sit at the right hand of the Father, and now the scripture says he ever lives to make intercessions for us. It doesn't even say Jesus is praying for the world. Jesus says in John chapter 17, I don't pray for the world, but I pray for those that you have given me. Why? Because they are the ones that will carry out the work that will eventually get to the world. But without them, the world can't get saved. Because we have the message. Angels cannot even come and preach the gospel to people. It takes the church of the living God. It takes the body of Christ. It takes you and I. It takes our mouth. It takes our mind, our heart. It takes everything that we have within us in order to carry out God's good and acceptable and perfect will. We are vitally important. We are essential to the kingdom of God. We are essential to the body of Christ. We are essential. We're more than just this building. This building is nothing without us. And we are nothing without God. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we plug into him. He plugs into us. We are in him. He is in us. And he carries out his good and acceptable and perfect will wherever we go, because we are part of the body of Christ. Does that make sense? I like to just say that it just sounds good. It feels good sharing, and it especially feels good knowing that I matter. Hallelujah. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, I matter. Yeah. Yeah, I'm important. You know, it's not a selfish thing. It's just a realization. And my bodily functions shut down. My bodily parts shut down. I can't do very much. You know, sickness attacks the body. You know, it gets weak and then it just wants to, you know, now I lay me down to sleep type of thing. And it's like when the body is whole and when the body feels good, and I think one of the greatest feelings is after you come through, and I'm not promoting sickness, okay? But after you come through a severe sickness into health, I mean, it's like, oh, praise God. Oh, I feel so good. Man, you appreciate health so much so that you want to hold on to it. It's like, whoa, I'm glad I came through that. Praise be unto God. So fabric, the body of a car, aircraft, the walls, the floor, and the roof of a building, we all make up the body of Christ. We all make up the structure. We are the church. We are the ecclesia, the ones that have been called out. Called out of where? We were called out of darkness into God's light. We were called from the power of sin to the power of God. We were called from the influence of the devil to the influence of Almighty God. We were called. We have been called. We have been chosen, if you will. Yeah. And this is good stuff. The essential structure of anything, especially a society or culture, the fabric of society. We see the fabric of the United States just breaking down constantly. And it's because we have abandoned our morals. We're embracing other things. Some want to fundamentally change this nation. And it's like, what do you want to change it to? Some say the documents don't apply to us. I say they do. They may have not at one time, but they do apply now, praise God. Yeah, we get the benefit now. But we get the benefit of two kingdoms. This one, the United States of America, and the kingdom of our God and Christ, upon which all the other kingdoms will be shaken and will crumble. But the kingdom that we are birthed into and coming out, and not coming out and leaving or abandoning, but coming, you know, from... that kingdom is a living, unshakable kingdom. Hallelujah. And it has no end. It's for eternity. So kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, but not our kingdom. The kingdom of our God, it'll remain forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. So we are the fabric, the essential part of the kingdom of God. I'll just put it like that. Created or fabricated, the product of. Created in Christ Jesus unto or towards or for the very purpose of good works. Jesus said it like this, the works that I do shall you do, yea, even greater, because I go to my Father. And then they asked him, what must we do to work the works of God? Jesus says, believe on the one that he has sent. Hallelujah. That's it? That's it. Believe on Jesus. And what he has said is what matters, is what counts. Final authority. That's it. That's just the way it is. And we just hold fast to his principles. So, created in Christ Jesus, you are not the person you were born as. You are not that person that came out of your mother's womb. That person died. And then you came alive to God, born from above. You are now a son or a daughter of the Most High God. When you came into this world, you were a son or daughter of your mother and your father, and you had their history all wrapped up in your life. But when you got born again, this is the thing. When you got born again, stay with me or I'll turn the heater off so everybody freezes and we'll stay awake. when you got born again, your old man died and your new man came alive. You received the very divine nature of God. Don't forget that. You have the nature of God on the inside of you. Yeah, I know that. You got to cultivate and develop that. It's not that the nature of God needs cultivation or developing. It's our sensitivity to the nature. It's our submission to the nature of God. God's nature doesn't come into us to bow. It comes in to rule. Hallelujah. It comes in to tear down, pull out, pluck up, and destroy all the unfruitful works of darkness and to build and establish the kingdom of light. You are light. The scripture says, in him, Jesus was life, and his life was the light of men. When Jesus comes into us, he does not come into us to be darkness. He comes into us to be light. Hallelujah. He comes in to take over. We were darkness before, whether we admit it or not. We were darkness. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. But Christ Jesus has made us alive, if you will. And so the light comes on, and we submit to that light, and we allow that light to expand, to germinate, to expand and take over to where we're consumed now. We take on his nature, his character, his attributes, if you will. We have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness. You cannot say, I don't have patience. That's a lie. Your old person, your old nature, the one that came out of mama and daddy, daddy's loins, mama's womb, that person may not have had patience, but now being born from above, patience is on the inside of you. Let God's patience have its perfect work with you. Yeah, you don't lack anything. You've been abundantly supplied with everything you need. You don't need anything. You don't lack anything. You have everything. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You're not a victim any longer. You're an overcomer. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yeah. Everything works together for your good now. Praise God. Even the bad stuff works together for your good. People mistreat you. People disrespect you. People spit on you. People talk bad about you. That works together for your good. Your flesh, oh, I feel bad. Oh, I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm upset. I want to. And if you do that, then you take over and you take the place of God, taking vengeance on those who wrong you. You let God work it out. Hallelujah. You go on and live the nature and character of God. Jesus, as the scripture says, was like a lamb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. They said all manner of stuff. Now, Jesus, now mind you, Jesus, all he has to say is, I am he, and the power of God will hit people so hard that they fall down. That's what happened to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Whom do you seek? And they said who they were seeking. Jesus says, I am he. Boom. They all fell. So after they got up, whom do you seek? Yeah. Jesus said, put your sword away. I could call legions of angels right now and wipe these guys out. But this is the will of God. See beyond. See the work of God. So we are created in Christ Jesus unto or for good works, works that he has already laid out for us, as it says, which God, we're still in verse 10, hath before ordained or set in order, if you will, that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus did say this. Some say, well, that's not in the original manuscripts. Well, it's in our manuscript, and praise God. It just simply lines up with things that have taken place in the body of Christ. What was that? Jesus says, and these signs shall follow those who believe. Hallelujah. This is some of the words. Number one, they're gonna lay hands on the sick. The sick are going to recover. They're going to speak in other tongues. The Spirit of God give them utterance. You know, they're going to cast out devils. And if they take up any deadly thing, it's not like we go to the store and get a can of Drano and drink it to see if we're going to die, or get some strychnine or something, drinking it to see if we're going to die. No. It's if somebody tries to poison us, it won't work. Hallelujah. So the works that he has ordained for us, that we should walk in them. Now, if you think that all Jesus wants you to do is just be quiet, yes, we are to, as the scripture teaches us, that we are to have a spirit of gentleness and meekness, quietness, if you will, be at peace with all men. But when it comes to his work, when it comes to exercising his will, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Yeah. And so we come out with strength and might and power in order to carry out the works of God. So he says, God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, you know, just like a kind of along the same lines, you know, we're ordained to operate in certain offices. You know, whether it be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or licensed, ordained minister, if you will, those capacities in which one is recognized and, you know, not only recognized, but they receive their papers in order to function in a certain capacity. You know, God has ordained us to function in a certain capacity, and it's not just living from day to day. It is making a difference wherever we are and whoever is around us, that they know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I hope that makes sense to you. Wherefore, remember that ye being in past times or time past Gentiles in the flesh, in other words, ungodly, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. Think about the day before you got saved and the life that you lived prior to that. Before you genuinely received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the position you were in. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, who were known as the people of God, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. You might have even felt good about yourself and what your accomplishments were at that time, but you were still strangers to the commonwealth. You were foreigners, aloof to the covenant promises of God. You were without hope, and you were without God. Even people today who say, I believe in God, but they have not entered into a relationship with him through Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. They can say they believe all they want to. James says, even the demons believe and tremble, but they're not saved. No, it's when you come into God through Christ Jesus, then you have hope. Then you are no longer a stranger to the commonwealth, or an alien, if you will, to the commonwealth. Then you are no longer a stranger to the covenants of promise that God has made. Then you have hope, and you have God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, this is the only way it happens, verse 13, and I'll stop here. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. That was our position before Jesus. No matter what we thought, no matter how religious we may have been, until we truly received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were far off, way at a distance from God. But we've now been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Never underestimate the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It took his blood, his precious blood, to shed for you and me. As we get further into it, you'll see how Jesus broke down the middle wall that was between us in verse 14, and how he abolished in his flesh the enmity. The enmity is the hostility, or the reason for opposition, if you will. That opposition was between the unsaved man and God himself. And Jesus bridged the gap and removed the enmity, that hostility, that reason for opposition. With God, it's my law, my word, you must obey. With the Gentiles and the unsaved, the ungodly, even the Jews, we can't measure up to that. And so we continue to go on in our futile ways. We continue to make excuses for living a certain way. And that way that we live separates us from God. Sin doesn't bring us nigh. It separates. It did at the beginning with Adam and Eve, which is what we learned, and so glad that God had that written. And it does the very same thing today. It brings about separation. The blood brings us near. Sin brings separation. But the wall that was broken down and the enmity, the hostility, because of the law of God itself. And when you see Jesus on the cross, you not only see his precious blood that has been shed for our sins, but you also see the very word. And the scripture says that he abolished or he destroyed that which was separating us from God or keeping us apart from him, the law itself. And it took the word incarnate, to do this, because the word itself was against us. But now in Christ, the word works for us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we'll stop right there. Stand to your feet. No more heater. No more heater. No more heater. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done, everything you're doing, and all that you're about to do. We thank you, Father God, for the life that we have in you. Thank you for the blood that has brought us nigh unto you, the blood of Jesus Christ himself. There is no more of a separation or division. And we now are partakers of the commonwealth. We are now partakers of the covenants of promise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that now we're blessed and not cursed. We thank you that we have favor. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are at work in us. And now I pray the power of your blessing that transcends generations. The word of God, which is forever settled in heaven, that word works on behalf of each and every believer in this house. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over sickness and disease, and we send it into outer darkness and to its source, that it does not come back to the physical body. We thank you, Lord God, for strengthening us, making us strong in you and in the power of your might, that as the word says, we may tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, so that nothing by any means shall hurt us, that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. But the blessing and favor of the Lord be upon us. Healing is our bread. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, we're healed of every sickness and every infirmity in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we walk now in divine health and we fight the good fight of faith. We don't back down, but we stand up in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Lord, bless your people, that above all else they may prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. Bless them and keep them. Make your face shine upon them, your radiant glory. May it resonate, may it permeate and flood their entire being. Be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace, Lord God, your shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. No worry, no doubt, no anxiety, no fear, no agitating passions that put us in a state of panic. But Lord, as the word says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Let that holy boldness that caused Peter and the other apostles to preach your word even after having been thrown in prison. They went out and preached the very word that they were thrown in prison for with such boldness that they even told the people, we ought to obey God rather than man. Oh, Lord, that's boldness. We ought to obey you rather than man. So, Father, let your good and acceptable and perfect will be worked out in each and every one of your sons and daughters, that they be blessed and be a blessing. In all that they do, in word and in deed, they bring glory and honor to your name, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Everybody who agrees, said amen. Amen. All right, greet one another in the name of the Lord. Be blessed. Don't forget, this coming Saturday, E-Team, We Are One Married Fellowship, TFT Outreach. It'll be a busy Saturday, but it'll be a blessed Saturday. Amen. And then we'll see you all on Sunday. Glory.